I got a text from someone last week. A fellow was walking down Central Avenue, that's in the Five Towns, and he saw at the, I mean, there's Central Avenues in like every town, but in the Five Towns, so he saw in the window of one of the Svarim stores an advertisement for a kind of Shabbos light, a company that makes a Shabbos light, and the advertisement read, the slogan read, "The only Shabbos light with zero muktzah issues." So the person was a little bit curious about that advertisement, and he asked, "Is this equivalent to a statement by this manufacturer that you should not buy the other Shabbos lamp products because you may violate muktzah? And if that is what they're trying to say, which Mustama, that is what they're trying to say, is that laudable because they are preventing Jews from violating an Isser muktzah, or is that really not nice lashon hara about these other companies?" So I want to discuss about a little bit about the various Shabbos lamp products that are out there. As far as I know, there are four companies that make products that are geared toward allowing you to turn to make it light and dark in a room at your will on Shabbos. So I want to discuss the differences between them and what they mean when they say that this is the only one, that there's only one that has no muktzah issues. So what are the four products? So the one that we're not going to talk about, it's already been spoken about by a lot of people and has been roundly in the immediate aftermath of when it came out, has been roundly rejected by the poskim, is the kosher switch. We're not getting into that. It seems to be, you know, sort of on the outs. So what we're going to discuss are the three that do not at all turn the light on or off, really. They just serve to block the light that's still there the entire time and is obviously much less problematic because of that. You're not actually manipulating any electricity. So as far as I know, I could be wrong, there could be more. As far as I know, there are three companies that make Shabbos type of lights. One is Shabbos Innovations, makes the original kosher lamp, which we've seen now they've come out with other products as well. The kosher lamp now is not just that big bulky thing that twists from the top. Now they have a smaller, more compact one that you lift up a little bit. They have, I think, a reading lamp kind of thing that also has like a little shade on it where you can put the shade over the light. But that's all one company as far as I know, as far as my research has shown me. Then the second company is, I wasn't sure how to pronounce it, but according to their promotional video, it's pronounced Shabulb. Milara, not Milara. I thought Shabulb, but no, it's Shabulb. Shabulb is a Shabbos light bulb that built inside the light bulb, there is a shade that can be shut. So when you move some sort of lever on the light bulb itself, with inside the light bulb, it covers over the lights that are shining from that bulb. And the idea of that is that you could just screw it into any fixture just like you would any other light bulb, and that way you could have complete control over every light in your house. If you put one of these things in every single light, you know, a fixture in your house or in every room in your house, you could have complete control in your house of turning on and off lights on Shabbos. So that is Shabulb. And then there is this company that was advertising that we spoke about. I'm not sure how it's pronounced because I didn't hear in the promotional video, but it's Shab LED. Shabled. Shabled, I don't know. Shab LED. So what are the issues over here? So let's start with the classic. Let's start with the original one. Right, that big bulky thing that you turn from the top. It used to only come in brown. Now it comes in all sorts of attractive colors. Right? So the advantages of that and the brilliance of it, really, it's amazing to me that it took the Jewish people from the time electricity was invented until, like, I don't know, how old is the company? 10 years? 15 years? Like, that it took that long to figure this out, that you can just cover the light, right? And then you won't have light. I guess with incandescent bulbs, it's more dangerous. You have to make sure that when you're covering the light, you're not going to start a fire. In fact, in one of the company's promotional videos, they showed, how do you block the light on Shabbos? And they showed a guy take his tzitzis and throw it over a lamp, and then the next day with his tzitzis with a big brown hole in the middle of it. I mean, you'll get worse than a big brown hole in your tzitzis. You could burn your house down. So you have to be very careful about how you cover light. But amazingly, they just thought of the most simple solution. You just cover it by turning that thing. And obviously, it doesn't, great advantage, it doesn't change electricity at all. You're not affecting the flow of electricity in any way. You're not relying on any sort of grumma. You're not relying on anybody's definition of grumma. So it has that fantastic advantage. Also, it's unlikely to be confused with a regular light. No one's going to look at that and say, oh, they probably bought that because it's such an attractive fixture. And, you know, it's like any other fixture they would have in their house. You'd only buy it because you need it for Shabbos. That's not, it's not like a normal lamp that a person would otherwise be using if not for the fact that it was Shabbos. So I guess like from an Uvda D'chol perspective, it's clearly different enough that it's clear that it's not a that it's only a Shabbos type of thing. Now, the classic Shabbos lamp has two parts. There's the base, and then there's the part that you actually turn to open and close it. If you ever pull up that part, it comes right out, meaning it's a completely separate unit. It's not attached in any way. It's just gravity that's holding it on. So moving the actual cover, moving that thing that you're supposed to move in order to close the light, l'chora is not a problem at all of tiltul mutza, because it's a separate kli from the light, and whatever would be muktzah would be the light itself. It's a total separate kli. It does not serve the bulb. It's not tiltul l'tzorech davar ha'aser. It's l'tzorech yourself. It's just to block off the light, and it's analogous to what the Minchas Yitzchak writes in a tshuva in Chelek Vav, Simun Chaf Aleph, where he was asked why it is that you're allowed to touch the tap on your hot water urn. After all, every single hot water urn has boiling hot coils somewhere inside there. That's an eish. It has an eish inside there. So isn't ever moving any part of the urn going to be considered a tiltul muktzah, that you're moving a muktzah item? So Minchas Yitzchak says no, because the tap in the water urn serves the person. It doesn't serve the coil. So it's considered a separate thing that's purely for the purpose of allowing the flow of water the way you want the flow of water to come out. But it's not there for the coil. Same is true with the top part of the Shabbos lamp. It's not there to serve the light. It's there to serve you, and therefore would not be a problem in Muktzah. So what are the problems, or the supposed problems, that were suggested by the people of Shabbos LED with the original one that motivated them to make their own type of Shabbos light? So the first problem they raised is that the base of the unit is a basis l'davar aser, because light is a shalheves, it's a flame, it's the equivalent of a flame. And the halacha is, if you have Shabbos candles on your table, for example, even after they're extinguished, you're not allowed to move, and you will get to it. You're not allowed to move anything that supported those candles. You're not allowed to move the candlesticks, you're not allowed to move the tray. It all becomes a basis l'davar aser. So they argue that the base unit is a basis l'davar aser. They say that if you open up the box and read the instructions of the classic Shabbos lamp, it will actually instruct you not to move the base of the unit, to leave it in one place. The problem with that is that a lot of, you know, first of all, who reads the instructions? Like, it's not that hard to figure. You read instructions when you can't figure something out. You buy bookshelves from IKEA, you might read the instructions. But, you know, you buy a lamp where you plug it in and you turn it on, like, you're probably not reading the instructions. And even if you're reading the instructions, I don't know, I'm putting a Shabbos lamp. I have a Shabbos lamp in my daughter's room. I have in our guest room. We have two in our room. So we have all over the place. So just because I read the instructions doesn't mean that everybody else who's ever going to use it is going to read the instructions and is going to know not to move the bulb. They also argue that it's very likely that you're going to move the unit, because the way they're built, they used to be built with like a tiny little hole where your mamish like had to be like right in front. Now they made like, they realized, oh, a bigger hole, more light. Okay, so they made a larger hole that allows for more light to come through. But still, it only shines on one side of the room. And if you have two people sharing a room, and they're trying to manipulate the light where they're going to maximize it, so it's very likely that they're going to move it at some point. And that is the issue that was raised by the people who make Shabbos LED. That's why they didn't like the original Shabbos lamp. The other reason they didn't like it, they quote their posek, I don't know who he is, but his name is Rav Moshe Shmuel Shaul Klein. He's the Rav of Shchunas Or HaChaim, and he's a member of a Beis Din somewhere, who says that you're not even allowed to move the upper part that opens and closes the light. Why not? Because you're not allowed to be metaltel litzorech davar ha'aser. And this is litzorech, the light bulb. The light bulb is a davar ha'aser, and therefore it's an iser tiltel. And this is not like the tap on an urn, he argues, because the tap on an urn will function whether the urn is hot or cold. It doesn't matter whether the water is hot or cold. It still serves a function of allowing water to come out at your, according to your specifications. Whereas over here, this unit, that this piece that covers the light, only functions, only has any value when the light is actually on. So that's what they argue, that this is called tiltul tzarech davar aser. So again, they hold the problems are that number one, the entire base of the unit is bustle davar aser, and therefore you're not allowed to be metaltel it, you're not allowed to move it, and people likely will come to move it. And they even argue that turning it on and off by twisting the thing on top is also going to be a problem because it's tiltul tzarech davar aser. Now, why are these not problems? Meaning, why is it that the majority of the Jewish world seem to enthusiastically embrace this, the original Shabbos lamp, and it came with a haskama from Rav Shlomo Miller, who is no slouch, you know, to say the least, a great posek from Toronto, a Lakewood posek, Rav Shlomo Miller. So the person who invented the original Shabbos lamp is a Torontonian. So Rav Shlomo Miller was the one he went to for his haskama. And so why are neither of these a problem? So first of all, it's not so pashut that the base is muktza. The idea that something that's under a shalheves, under a flame, is that the flame is muktza, and therefore everything that supports the flame that's under the flame is a basa davar aser, may only be true if something is halachically a flame. Not everything that's light is a flame. Now, it used to be that that most of the bulbs were incandescent bulbs. Now you'd be hard-pressed to find incandescent bulbs. They're totally inefficient. They generate too much heat. They blow out much quicker. They burn out much quicker than all the other forms of light bulbs that we have. And the light's not even as good as like LED lights. It doesn't even provide a strong light. You don't find too many incandescent bulbs. Incandescent bulbs had a din of eish. You can make a bracha moria. You can make a bracha and hadakas neiros and such a thing, but it's unclear at all that when you have another type of light, whether it be LED or whether it be fluorescent, like I think the typical original Shabbos lamp is with fluorescent bulbs, it's not clear at all that would make the base of the unit a basis l'davar aser, because what would it be then? What category of muktza would it be? And it's still muktza, but what's it called? That's a kli shemalachta l'iser. So what's the halacha by a kli shemalachta l'iser? Are you allowed to move a kli shemalachta l'iser? Halacha is only litzorech gufo or litzorech makomo. What does it mean litzorech gufo? I'm sharing a room with someone. I was using the light until now, and now they want to twist the light a little bit more toward them or move it over a little more toward them. That's litzorech gufo, because you need it. You need to use it for the light. And therefore, it would seem that there's a lot of room to argue that a light fixture that does not have an incandescent bulb, that has another form of bulb, is not a basis l'davar aser. Even more than that, there is a discussion I saw in the contemporary Muktzah Svarim, even if it does have an incandescent bulb that's on, whether it's basis l'davar aser. You see, the thing is, nobody knows exactly why a shalheves is Muktzah Machmas Gufa. What makes it this high form of muktza, as opposed to kli shemalachta l'iser that you would have by a normal keli that you would use to do dvar masurim with, but no one really fully understands it, to the point that the poskim weren't even all convinced that an incandescent bulb has a dib of a shalheves with regard to the status of muktza. In fact, in Rabbi Simcha Bunim Kohn's Hilchos Muktzah Sefer, the blue one, he writes that he saw with his own eyes that Rav Moshe Feinstein used to move a lit lamp on Shabbos, that he saw it with his own eyes. Interestingly, Rabbi Badner, in his Hilchos Muktzah book, has a tshuva from Rav Moshe, where Rav Moshe says you shouldn't do it, because Rav Moshe says, you know, people are going to get confused between that and the shalheves, so you shouldn't do it. Mm-hmm. But interesting, that's you have different reports what Rav Moshe held about that. But with LED, it seems that there's a lot more room to be makel. I remember this became an issue when we had Hurricane Sandy. A number of years ago, there was a terrible hurricane, and we lost power in my area and in a lot of areas, but in much of Long Island, we lost power for an extended period of time, and we had to go through a Shabbos with no electricity. So people wanted to know if they can turn on LED flashlights and walk around the house with LED flashlights. All the flashlights they make nowadays are LED flashlights. So they wanted to know, can they walk around the house with it? Okay, so you'd cover the button that turns it on and off, because you don't want to accidentally turn it on or off. You don't want to forget and accidentally turn it on and off. Okay, you'll cover the button, but are you allowed to move it? So the Shab LED company and their postcom would say, absolutely not. It's a basis of our usher. You cannot use it. And in fact, I remember in West Hempstead, my Talmidim from West Hempstead at the time told me that Rabbi Kelmer said no. He said not to use it. In North Woodmere, we did. In North Woodmere, we used it. We did carry it because I thought that it was not considered a basis of our usher. I thought it's a klisha malach to lisser, and a klisha malach to lisser, you're allowed to move the tzarkum kum. So that's why the base may not be as big an issue as they're making it out to be. Why is the top part motor, why are you allowed to move the top part? So that's not the reason you're allowed to move. Rashlom Miller explains in his Haskama, it's not tiltal the tzarech davar aser. You're not moving the top so that you can serve the bulb. It's so that you can serve yourself. It's to help yourself. And he writes pretty strong the Shonos in his letter of Shlomo Miller. He says that he wrote a letter to the person who paskined that this is considered the tzarech davar aser, the person who was Ta'abazeh, who made an obvious mistake on this, and he says, but what do you want me to do? Lo haven klal yisod ha'alacha. The guy doesn't understand the definition of the halachic terminology of what l'tzorech davra asr is. Ooh, so he was not so happy, right? So that he thought that that's 100% mutter to move the top, and Mistama, he's right. I asked for Sachs what he thought. He said, Pashtus is, or some Miller's 100% right about this. There's that it's not called the Tzorach Davrasu. So what about the Shabulb? What is that, where does that... So you certainly don't have the issue of moving the base because, you know, it's just in your regular light fixture, so you're not moving anything. But the issue of moving the top unit becomes a bigger issue because the shade unit is built into the bulb. It's hard to call that a separate unit from the bulb, but nevertheless, it's mutter because it's Litzorech. It's Litzorech yourself. And that's why the OU and many, many others said that the Shabulb is absolutely fine. What about Shab LED? How did they solve? So they're arguing that there are all these problems. How did they solve these problems? So, have you ever seen the product? You know what this is? Shab LED? Anyone ever seen it? It's like a little rectangular box, and it has a drawer that you pull out, and you can actually put things in the drawer. It's a functional drawer. Has a little clock on the front. But when you pull out the drawer, underneath the drawer, the base of the box, has a whole bunch of LED lights that shine through as soon as you open the drawer. So when you open the drawer, it like lights up the entire room. It's got a PCB platform with LED lights on it, and you open the drawer, and the whole room lights up. So how did they solve the issues? So first of all, they say the drawer is a totally separate unit, and it's a functional kli in its own right. So it's not just stop moving something, l'tzorech davar aser, you're moving a separate kli that is a perfectly permissible kli to use, namely something that you can store things in, and therefore it's not a problem at all to move the top unit. What about the box itself? Moving the box, shouldn't that still be a basis l'davar aser l'shitasam? So they said, no, there's another principle you have to be familiar with, and that's called that which is a basis l'davar aser, what happens if you're going to need to move your Shabbos candles, the candlesticks, after the candles go out on Shabbos? What do you do? So what's the old trick? The tray that's holding the candlesticks, you put something mutter on that tray that's of greater value than the candles themselves. The classic thing to put was a woman would put her ring, her diamond ring, on the tray, and then it's a basis l'davra aser, ul the davra mutter, then you're allowed to move the entire tray. That's what that was the... So now they said, we've created this unit That's a basis, yes, l'davar ha'asur, the LED lights, but also l'davar ha'mutar, the drawer on top. Oh, but I might not keep anything in that drawer. No problem, we put a clock on it. So you're still using the clock, and the clock is also a constantly functional davar ha'mutar. So that's what they argue. Even so, there are a couple of limitations. They say you're still not allowed to move it mechamel itself, because you're not allowed to move a muktzah item to protect it. You're only allowed to move it when you need l'tzarech gufo mekamo. And Rabbi Heineman, in his Haskama to the Shab LED, writes that you can't use it for Ner Shabbos, because it's LED lights, and you can only use incandescent bulbs for Ner Shabbos. That, l'chara, would be true of all of them, of all of these. They're all LED lights or fluorescents. None of them are incandescent bulbs, except for kosher switch, but again, that's out. We're not... So it would seem that they're all... if you ask me, lahalacha, which one is kosher, is genuinely kosher, kulam ahuvim, kulam berurim, they're all good, they're all wonderful. I didn't love the way that they advertised, the only one, that they could have just advertised no muktzah problems, and that would be definitely true. But okay, you understand, there's a lot of investment in research and development in making these things, and people are very, when you're totally into something, you're very invested in it and making sure that yours is the best. But, maybe there would have been a nicer way to say it. But l'chora, they're all 100% mutter, and you're allowed to use all of them. So that's the, okay.